The first scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah, chapter 25, 6 to 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and the disgrace of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The second reading is from John, chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, for he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. So ends the reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we thank you for your presence here today on this glorious Easter day. We ask that you would give us a word that we need to hear. I ask that the words from my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds would please you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you didn't come here expecting me to tell you something new about this story this morning. Although each gospel tells the story a little bit differently, the Easter narrative really doesn't change very much from year to year. We can anticipate its twists and turns. There is no surprise ending. And so with each telling, it's just a little bit more difficult to put ourselves in the bewildered shoes of Mary, Peter, the beloved, and all the other disciples. Yes, we may still debate the particulars of the resurrection, but we already know what's going to happen. There's not a whole lot of room left for us to feel that fear, that suspense, or the shock of those first disciples. Yet even though the story remains the same, we don't. Every Easter morning, we leave this place, we have our family dinners, we continue to go about our lives. But in those in-between times, things happen, things that impact us. Life happens. Births, marriages, divorces, deaths, and all sorts of other losses, challenges, and changes. Things we've anticipated and things we could not even seen coming. Things that gave us pause, things that made our hearts sing, things that leave us feeling empty or even abandoned. Each year we bring new experiences to the Easter story. Each year we return to Jesus' resurrection slightly altered, slightly different people. Each year with the disciples, we peer into Jesus' tomb and its darkness, its emptiness, echo back at us in a way unlike any other time before. And so each year with the disciples, we'll eventually celebrate as Jesus' joyous Easter surprise will hold a slightly different personal significance for each one of us. For me, it's my father's passing in January that has most profoundly marked me. Over this past year, shaping me into someone I was not and could not have been before it happened, this same time last year. For this church, the deaths of four beloved longtime members and the reception of 11 new members have molded us into a congregation that we couldn't have imagined 12 months ago. But here we are. We have emerged from the darkness of winter, of Lent, of crucifixion and death. We have not only survived, we are transformed, reborn. We are Easter people. And we will continue to be so. In just a few minutes, we will baptize an infant and a little girl. And in a week, we will baptize a young woman and receive a few more members into our beloved community of faith. Every hour, every day, every week, we are transformed and reborn. Who knows whom we will be a year from now? I think only God, it's pretty fair to say. Many years and pages have been spent debating the exact nature of Jesus' resurrection. Was it physical? Was it spiritual? Even the New Testament's authors cannot agree, with the gospel writers making a pretty clear case for bodily resurrection, while the Apostle Paul speaks of Jesus acquiring a new spiritual body. Suffice it to say that something profound and life-altering happened that first Easter morning, a resurrection that changed the lives of everyone who was there. Everyone it touched in those 40 days Christ walked the earth before ascending into heaven. But not only that, a resurrection that has kept on giving, touching, and transforming for almost two millennia. Look around this sanctuary at your church family and friends. Notice the people pouring out of other churches when we depart from this place a little later this morning. It is we, the church, who are the living evidence of Christ's resurrection. We who are Christ's hands and feet, we who come to the garden seeking Jesus, seeking comfort, seeking healing and new life. We who care for one another as God has cared for us. We who continue to extend Jesus' radically extravagant hospitality and universal love. We who long and strive for the day when peace, love, and justice will reign over all the earth. We who bear witness to the fact that love is infinitely stronger than death, that nothing, no pain or suffering or even death, can separate us from our God who is love. Jesus the Christ indeed lives. And we in the here and now, we are his Easter people. But it all started with a most intimate encounter with a disciple come to visit the final resting place of her beloved teacher and friend. A woman so dedicated that she dared to approach the garden alone, just beyond the shadow of the cross and before daylight had even broken. A woman so bold and driven that she didn't hesitate to run and awaken the other disciples in the wee hours of the morning. A woman so confounded and determined that she lingered by the grave long after the others had departed. A woman so distraught that the appearance of two angels didn't even faze her. A woman so blinded by tears that she couldn't see Jesus even when he stood right in front of her. A woman whose ears and heart were nevertheless tuned in to the sound of his voice as he spoke her name, Mary. A woman so moved and called by him that she was quick to bear witness to the others, even though she knew that they were far more likely to doubt than to believe her. Yes, Easter began with that tender moment in the garden with Jesus calling Mary by name, and it continues in the lives and the moments of lives of people big and small. It will continue when we name, dedicate, and baptize Tasha and Junior this morning. It will continue when we baptize Ashley next Sunday. It will continue in the summer of 2013 when we witness the weddings of Ashley and Vince and of Beth and Dan. It continued when our country elected its first African American president, and it continues every time a new state votes in favor of marriage equality. It continues whenever we allow God's grace and healing to turn our sorrow into joy, our emptiness into abundance and generosity, and our brokenness into healing and wholeness. It continues each time we embrace one another in joy and in sorrow, in emptiness and in wholeness. Each time we open our arms and our hearts to a new person who brings to us warts, scars, and gifts as compelling as and unique as our own. Each time our loneliness and despair are turned into dancing and rejoicing. You see, the Easter story, it's our story. And we are the Easter story. It's an old story, yes. It's a familiar story, yes, but it is a story big enough to hold us all. From a God whose love and grace are expansive enough to reach and transform us all. And truth be told, we don't actually know exactly how the Easter story ends. If anything, that first Easter was a beginning. A new beginning for Jesus' first disciples, now followers of a risen Christ. And we are a chapter in a very thick book that is still being written, a story that will go on until all of creation's tears have been mercifully wiped away, till each one of us is free and fed, healed and transformed. For us too, each Easter, each Sunday is a new beginning, and we don't know exactly where it's taking us. But we do know that we can trust in God's love and presence. We do know that we can participate in the mysterious unfolding of the biggest Easter story, the bigger Easter story of which we are all, every one of us, a part. Amen.